Welcome to Charm Chat. I'm Nicole from A Pretty Charmed Life.
I'm Angie from Daily Charm Addict.
And I'm Rita from A Charmed Dreamer.
Together, we share our not-so-secret charm addictions,
discuss hot topics in the bead world,
and of course, spill the beads on life.
So, are you ready? Okay, let's chat.
Hello, Nicole and Rita, and all our listeners and all our big Disney fans out there, and welcome to a really fun episode. We asked last season if you guys would be interested in hearing about our travel tips to Disney and our sort of experience and our insider tips, and the answer was a resounding yes. So here we are. We have a lot to talk about and a lot to share, so we're going to dive right in. And Nicole and Rita, hello, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi. I am super excited about this topic. I feel like a pro.
You are.
One-sided pro. Haven't been to Disney World since I was 9 years old. So all of my advice will be Disneyland-based.
Yeah, it's nice. We all have a different perspective and have been to one or both parks. Nothing in Europe yet, but we have lots to share about our experiences. So
I think one of the things that we get asked a lot about is about staying on Disney property, like the Disney resorts versus regular hotels. And we've all had experiences with both, so I think we can all speak to it.
And your experience is just Disney World, right?
Yes, my experience is Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland, so it's just Disney World. Disney World's huge, so there's a lot of different parks, different resorts, so
a lot of options. You don't have to stay on property. Yeah, I know you've got some great ideas for staying off property, and you also have been on property.
Yeah, so done both. I think if you've never done it, this is my opinion, it's nice to do it at least once and experience it. It is usually more expensive, but there are some value resorts that are same prices around like a regular hotel. There's three tiers of resorts in Disney: value, moderate, and deluxe. It's usually based around prices, but now they include certain things in a deluxe that are not included in the value. So you do get certain perks for staying at a Disney resort. What we did was we stayed at a couple different resorts during our stay so we could experience the difference. I think the resorts are amazing, but because I've already experienced it for the money, I would now rather stay in Disney World at a Disney Springs hotel. So it's like a regular hotel. It is Disney affiliated. They're really nice. They're like a 4-star hotel. The ones we stayed at were like a 5-minute walk from Disney Springs. And you also get a shuttle to the parks.
Just, I think there's really a choice if, you know, somebody wants to keep price and value in mind and the perks, and you kind of have to weigh those and check where you want to spend your money, basically.
Yeah. And one thing that's really important that you should weigh is if you're going to spend all your time in the parks and you just go to the hotel to sleep, it's a lot of money to spend just to go to sleep. So we did that the first time and learned by our mistake. So the next time we really enjoyed the resort. So if you want to enjoy the resort, then it's definitely worth it.
And what's it like in Disneyland, Nicole? Because you're our resident Disneyland pro.
Yeah, and I've done both. I was actually always like a good neighbor hotel person. I don't like spending a lot of money on the hotels. And the good neighbor hotels are like $120, $160 a night. If you're going to stay on resort, it's like minimum $600 a night. So you really have to think about how much do you want to stay in the hotels. That being said, you guys know it took me a long time to say, okay, I'm going to stay on resort. And it's kind of nice if you don't do the price comparison to what you would be saving if you stayed at a good neighbor. And like, again, Walt Disney World's huge. Disneyland is not. There are some of those hotels that are actually closer walking distance to the park entrance that are right across the street. So
I think Rita had a really good idea, too, that because they're so luxurious, if it's something you want to experience, you can always split your vacation and do, you know, one or two nights at the property. And I just saw a good tip today that now we're going to talk about this in a little bit about certain changes and perks that now only apply to the deluxe resorts in Disney World. So what you can do is stay at a value resort or a different resort for the first part, and then the last 2 days, move to that deluxe one if you can afford it, and then get the perks that way without spending your whole vacation on that deluxe resort.
Oh, yeah, and do it that way. Do the value first and then do the deluxe last, because we did the opposite, and it was like, why did we do that?
Yeah, the toilet paper is a big thing. The toilet paper is not as nice in the lower value resorts. Yeah. I've been to all of them too, but in Disney World, we now have traditionally always stayed on property. We have our favorite. It's just like a moderate middle of the road. And the reason we started going there was because we are a family of five and we had three children. So that was the only place that would accept that third kid. And I mean, it was the poor kid had to sleep on the little trundle bed that slides out, but he was a real trooper. And so we had a lot of fun doing that. But the prices have gone up over the years. We've been since they were little, and boy, they got really expensive. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, how things have changed. But one thing I did want to say is that, you know, Disney as a company has made so many changes over the years, and especially with, you know, the past couple of years, and they've probably had to make some business decisions. So I just wondered if, you know, some of those are something we could talk about and let people know.
Yeah, I think one of the big changes, and again, one of the perks of staying on resort, is you used to have a 1 hour magic morning if you stayed on resort. They finally brought it back at Disneyland, but it's only half an hour this time, which is still plenty of time, you know, to do. I mean, you could do all of Fantasyland in 30 minutes, really. That's a change.
Yeah, they did the same thing in Disney World. But seriously, it takes you that long to walk wherever you need to go because it is so massive. But I mean, you have that little bit of an advantage. But yes, that 1 hour, boy, that was nice. So that is one big change. Now, also, you need to, for Disney World anyway, you need to reserve the park. Not only do you have to buy a ticket, you need to reserve your park. And even further, you need to purchase Genie Plus, which is kind of replacing the Fast Pass. So if you want to get, you know, avoid those super long lineups, you kind of need that. And even further, you can now have a lightning lane that you pay for certain A ticket rides, you know, the really good ones. Or maybe they were D tickets, I can't remember. But anyway.
On top of the Genie
on top
fee, right?
So it's so expensive now. Yeah.
I remember, it was so funny because my boyfriend and I were talking about, it was when they just launched the Spider-Man Web Slingers, that ride. And there was no Lightning Lane, Fast Lane. You stood in standby when it first came out. And it was like a really long wait. And he had made a joke saying, man, they should just charge people who's willing to pay, you know, 10, 20 bucks to just go to the front of the line. And I was like, I would totally do it. And then they came up with the Lightning Lane. And I don't know about you, Angie. I know you've been since, but we definitely buy those tickets because time is money.
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to waste your park time. Like, you're already paying for that park time, right? So we did buy that for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's nice if you only have a couple people in your party, but when you have a whole bunch of people, it really adds up. But for that special one, it's kind of an add-on experience. So
another change that they did was for Park Hopper. And I don't know, you guys, here's what I want to know from you guys once I say this. Is it worth having a Park Hopper in Walt Disney World? Because in Disneyland, I find I always do Park Hoppers. And for a while, they limited it to you can only hop after 1 p.m., but they just updated it. So now after 11 a.m., you can park hop between the two parks. But like, they're literally, there's an esplanade that separates the two. It's a 90-second walk from one end to another. So in Disneyland, I highly recommend Park Hopper. What is your take at Walt Disney World?
I have to say, for Disney World, it's not worth it because especially now they have so many rules now, you know, certain restrictions and certain things. And by the time you would get there or get a bus, it's so crowded now. And so many people take that transportation that by the time you get there, it's not worth it. Or sometimes they have at capacity, they won't let more people in. So you just can't guarantee that. And for the extra money, maybe on a low traffic time, but it's just always busy, in my opinion. What do you think, Rita?
We've never done it because we spend the whole day in the park, in one park. There's so much to do in each park. There are four parks and then two water parks too. So we've never really had the time to go to a second park. If we do have time, like if we leave a park early, we'll go to Disney Springs, which is like a whole other park to me. I've never done it. Even when I had an annual pass, I never went from one park to another. They're far apart.
Yeah, they're far apart. But also, especially now that you have these, you can only have three rides, like booked and they're going to be at later times. So there's no time. There's always seems to be a reservation in the time that you would need to go to another park anyway. So yeah, I don't see the value. That would be my recommendation. No bother.
Yeah, I guess when it's as close as Disney California Adventure is to the Disneyland, you know, Magic Kingdom part, it just makes it like one giant park. And like, you guys know that Presley's like a churro freak and I like churros too, but different stations have different churros. So what if you're in California Adventure, but you really want that Nerds churro, like just hop over and just go back and forth.
Churro hopping.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, right.
So I know you guys have historically always had magic bands in Walt Disney World. Disneyland has not. They just introduced them, which, by the way, I'm super excited because Presley and I are going to go get magic bands. And one was a gift from Rita for Presley. That's so exciting. It's her birthday gift. But I want to know, like, what the magic band actually does, because it's not set up in Disneyland yet. Like, from what I understand, it works to get you in the parks, which is really convenient when you're park hopping all the time. And you can use it to scan into the lightning lanes. But it doesn't even open your hotel door, from what I understand, is one of the perks, paying for stuff. So I feel like the value is not there yet in Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. In Disney World, it's everything. It's your key to everything. Yeah. Yeah, the paying, the opening the doors.
It's how they find you in Be Our Guest restaurant, too. Yeah. Magically, they find you and bring your food magically to you.
I know. Yeah, you're definitely being tracked. That's for
sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
But, yeah. Oh, and also it's for getting your photos that they take on the rides, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. or from the photographers there, which is kind of neat. And even in when you're on the boat in It's a Small World, at the end, there's all the goodbyes in all the different languages, and there's also a screen that might say adios Angie or whatever.
Yeah
which is really cool. It's like, how do they know?
Big Brother's watching.
Cool. I'm gonna have to pay attention to ride perks.
My favorite part of Magic Band is that you can pay everything with it. You just scan it, you don't have to worry. I mean, you get the bill at the end, but it's so convenient. You don't have to pull out your wallet or anything like that, which is really good. And they're fun. So it used to be, so I haven't been since pre-COVID, guys, but it used to be that you would get a magic band for every resort, Disney resort, that you stayed at. So when I went for my special birthday, we stayed at 4 different resorts, and I got 4 different magic bands, like different color. You could choose your color back then. It was free. I think it's changed now, Angie, right?
Yep, for sure. You now have to buy your magic band. They do give you a discount if you're staying on property and in your reservation. You can order them early, but you can customize them, which is really cute. So I did that on our last trip in August. I got everybody a customized band, which was really neat. They've got your name on it and everything, which is nice. In case it drops off. As Canadians, we don't get it shipped to our door. You have to pick it up at the resort, but that's okay.
Guys, something else about magic bands. Now they're working on something like interactive stuff. I think they did it with the 50th anniversary at Disney World. And there's rumors that they're doing it for the 100th anniversary, even in Disneyland. So there's like statues in the parks that you can use with your magic band. Some type of interactive thing. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah. It's cool.
There's you could go bounty hunting in Galaxy's Edge with it too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. One of the things, this isn't really a recent change, but it has gotten bigger and bigger, is mobile order. So my cousin and I went to Disneyland, and she used to go all the time, like growing up. And she was just so impressed with the app in general, like how we're just like boom, 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 getting everything done. You know, hey, we're going to be hungry in 2 hours. Let's like check to place a mobile order for a place we want to eat maybe within the next hour. But mobile order is a way to go. For people who are standing in line for their food when there's a mobile order option, I'm like, what are you doing? This is like 30 minutes you're wasting.
How's Starbucks? Because that was like an hour wait every time.
Oh, that doesn't have mobile order.
It doesn't. You see? It is always an hour wait. It's crazy. In the morning, especially.
I know. That always surprises me. It's like, I'm not spending an hour waiting for Starbucks that I can get at home.
Exactly.
I've never stood in line for Starbucks at the park.
My brother did once. We were waiting for the fireworks to start. It was December. It was freezing cold. And he waited probably an hour. It was crazy.
See, if I need a coffee, I just order it from either Jolly Holiday, which does have mobile order, and they have fun little snacks anyway, or any of the other restaurants. Like, I'm not going to do Starbucks. Hey, this doesn't really fit, but for people who are traveling with young people, I've been taking Presley ever since she was 2 years old. And one of the things a friend must have told me, because I was really stressing out how I was going to get her in a stroller and just all of our stuff, like just her and I traveling alone. I'm like, how am I going to do this all by myself? And somebody's like, oh, just rent a stroller at Disneyland. And I was like, what? And right where you are going to walk in, they have a stroller rental thing. I forget how much it is, but I am like, if your kid is walking and can get to the park, but you just need that stroller for like sometimes, don't travel with a stroller if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, I am such a fan of renting from Disneyland.
And they have stroller parking too at every ride.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And you just see 100 strollers.
Guys, I've also rented a scooter there because I was having some problems, and the parks are huge, like especially Epcot. Magic Kingdom, I'll never have a scooter because I need to experience it. But Epcot's big, and it really saved me. So you rent the, at the same place you rent these strollers, you can rent a scooter, and it's like $50 a day, and there's a $20 deposit that you get back. So $70 and you get $20 back. And if you park, if you do park hop, you have to bring it back. And then if there's one available, you can get it free at the other park, but it's hard because you have to go early in the morning to get them because they sell out too. They're a lifesaver. It was a lifesaver for me. It really was.
Also a lifesaver, there are wheelchair rentals there, which I happened to experience 1 year because I hurt my foot en route to Disney World. So it was like, oh no, and I just could not walk on it. So we ended up renting a wheelchair, and it was the same thing. I was able to get around that way. So you can do it if you need it.
Are there any vloggers that you guys follow that really help with Disney tips? Because when I think about like how I get really efficient, or every month or every season, there's something new or something special happening, and it helps if you do know ahead of time. So there's a couple YouTubers that I love to watch. One is Fresh Baked. He just does a ton of reporting on Disneyland. And then Provost Park Pass does a lot of Disneyland stuff too. But I don't ever search for Disney World because I don't go. Like, are there any people that if our listeners like, okay, we want to like be as informed as possible, who do you guys watch or recommend?
I love Disney Food Blog because they will cover both parks, and they're just like, it's more than just the food. Great tips on all the snacks you need to look for, but tons of tips about getting on rides and all that stuff. And then just for lay of the land kind of things, I love the Tim Tracker. He's really good too. So that's my recommendation. What about you, Rita?
Yeah, I like those two. And I love Lou Mangiello. He offers a lot of Disney history too. He has a podcast and he's been doing it for, I think, 15 years or something. He's written books. I love him a lot. He loves food. So I trust him on all the food choices as well. And then I also love Living by Disney. She's on Instagram. I really love her. And Disney Hungry for Disneyland. I love her too.
Heck yeah. It's how you know about all the treats.
Yeah.
My daughter's a huge like Disney fan, obviously, and she just really studies this. So she'll report to me any changes that I need to know, because they really do change almost every week. So
they do.
You got to be on top of it. And that's one of the recommendations I would say is really prepare, learn what's available, learn what you need, because nowadays you can't do it last minute. I mean, you could, but you're not going to get dining reservations. You're not going to be able to get into the parks or the rides just the day of. It's just not feasible now to do that. So,
oh, dining reservations. I'm glad you brought that up. Like 60 days ahead on the app, you can schedule those special dining reservations. If you have a daughter that wants to go to Bippity Boppity Boutique, like 60 days ahead.
I want to go to Bippity Boppity Boutique.
They need an adult one.
I know. They have something for adults. They do something.
Yeah, you have to go and get the pixie dust in your hair. Pixie I do dust, that. Yeah. I still do that every time. But yeah, definitely you got to plan ahead. It's crucial, I would say, to do that.
Although, little tip, a lot of times people drop their reservations, they cancel them, and sometimes even the night before you might find. So keep trying through the app, keep trying, refresh. Yeah, because I got Be Our Guest that way for dinner, which is really hard to get because you get to meet the Beast. And it was so hard, and I was so disappointed because we couldn't get it. Even 60 days in, we couldn't get it. And then the night before, I just kept trying and I got it. So
yeah, and make sure if you do have reservations, you either show up or you cancel, because they will now charge you the entire thing. Yeah, wow. It's terrible. So you really want to pay attention to that. And, you know, things are so expensive that there are some tips for saving money in the park.
I know my secret tip. I don't know if it's actually saving me money, though, in the long run. But annual passes are now magic keys. At least that's what they're called in Disneyland. But the different tiers have different savings. And the magic key that I have gives you 20% off merchandise, which you guys know I'm a shopper.
<The best.
laughs> 20% off Pandora is amazing. And then like up to 15% off of dining, which is like it adds up.
For sure. They always ask me in Disney World, do you have any annual passes and all, you know, all the military things. And as a Canadian, it's really not cost effective for me to do that. If I were living closer and could go more often, absolutely, I would 100% do it. But in Canadian dollars and for the, you know, once or twice a year that we get there, it's not really reasonable for us. But Rita, I know you had it once, right?
Yeah, I did it in 2018 and it included 20% off. It included a percentage off food as well, 25% off resorts.
Also, the more people that go, like you only need one person in your party to have it. So if you're going with a larger group or family, then it really makes sense, I think.
Speaking of dining, there's table service restaurants versus quick service. What's your take on that?
I really like both, but it's nice to have at least one or two. Like
and one of
service.
Them could be character dining. So,
very
important. Yeah.
Yeah.
We always have a character dining. There's a lot of like healthy food that you can get in a lot of places. And I think of this, okay, because I travel with a kid, obviously, but they have like a kid's like healthy pack that you could get at like the quick pickups. But when you go to some of the sit down, like Presley loves broccoli, like for her to be able to sit down and like eat that kind of food when we're on vacation is like really helpful because she's picky. One of the things when you're planning your trip, or maybe you want to plan around a special event, is there are things that can either enhance your vacation because you're going to do one of those, or really like kind of put a damper on your vacation because you're getting kicked out of the parks early. So I know for Disneyland, they have things like Sweethearts Night, Princess Night, there's going to be Star Wars Night. I've done the Oogie Boogie Bash, which is on Halloween, which is really awesome. It's a separate ticketed event. However, it is during normal park hours. So if you're attending a park and you didn't realize that they were having that event that night and you're getting kicked out at like 5 p.m., you're probably like, oh man, that's a real big bummer because these tickets are not cheap. So just be aware. It's something cool to plan your trip around if you want to attend some of those festivities.
We did the Very Merry Christmas, and it's good because there's less people, so you get to go on the rides a lot faster. But we're not big rides person. Like, personally, I am more of a shopper. So for me, like, my most excitement is shopping, and especially, like, Pandora Parks exclusive charms. So that's a big focus for me, and I usually go look at those things first. I don't buy right away, but I look first to see what's available.
Shopping is like one of my favorite things to do in the park too, Rita. I think we'd have like an awesome time because Presley and I like wussy rides and then shopping. So I agree with charms. We like lounge flies. We like to have our different Mickey ears.
Doonies.
Doonies. Spirit jerseys. Like,
so for Pandora at Disney, like at Disney Springs, there's a different places you can buy Pandora. So there's the main World of Disney. Then there's like another place that just has like beautiful purses and the Pandora. And then there's an actual Pandora store in Disney Springs. So there's a few places. I think the same for Disneyland, right?
It is. The Pandora store, though, it doesn't have like the same like magic key discount as you would get if you were to go to like the dress shop or the hotel gift shops to get Pandora. So I tend to stay away from there unless there's something that the parks doesn't carry that the actual Pandora store does.
In Disney Springs, it's 10% at that Pandora store. That's not the Disney stores. It's still 10%. But then you can find things like that you can find in any stores, like, you know, like the Disney 100 charms that just came out.
Well, the Disney 100 should be in the park too. And I'm so mad I didn't wait to get the carriage at 20% off, but I just... What if it's sold out? You know, there's that fear.
Yeah.
I'm such a collector that I can't miss out because I was waiting for a discount.
It's true.
We love to collect those every month, right? Is it every month? No, it's longer than that, right?
There's going to be 8 total, so plus the bracelet, right? There's also in Disney, there's a special bracelet for the 100 that came out with the mini ears or something, right, Nicole?
A bracelet?
Yeah, it's like an open bangle, and then it has Disney 100, like an inscription, and then it has mini ears that are black with like silver. Oops, I don't know how to explain it.
I will be looking in the parks during spring break.
Well, we love to collect all those things, right? So speaking of charms and Disney merch that we love, next week, Nicole is going to get us chatting all about that collecting mentality and all the other things that we like collect and obsess about. So I think that's going to be a fun episode to talk about.
It's going to be crazy.
And is collecting just the justification we give ourselves for shopping addiction?
Anyway, we had so much to talk about. I don't know, maybe there's going to be a part two of this, because hopefully you got an overview at least of traveling to Disney. And like I said, this is a huge topic, so we could talk for hours about it. Let us know if you have any great tips that we haven't talked about yet, and you can reach out to us on Instagram at Charm Chat Podcast or email us at charmchatpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Stay charming.